A lot of very well-known names were mentioned as we watched this short presentation on his life. Lord, we thank you for men and women who were willing to stand up, sacrifice themselves to serve you in faraway places and conditions that were nothing like they are today. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us examples that we can follow. And we ask, Lord, that we would have a willing heart to serve you as these men were as well. And we ask now that as we look into your word for just a little while tonight, that you be pleased to just teach us. Lord, it's a simple thought tonight. And just ask that you would be pleased with it. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to stand before your people and present your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would just give a blessing to everyone who's here. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This message is not really a message about missions, although that is certainly front and center in my mind right now. You know, we are just a matter of about 9-10 days away that we'll be having, you know, our missions conference. And so, you know, there's a focus there in my mind. I want that to be a time where you focus on those things as well and trust that you will, trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I think you're pretty well aware. We showed the pictures. They've been on the screen with the announcements over the last several weeks. And trust that you are thinking toward those people and praying for those people, especially for Brother Ferris as he comes and preaches his word. We talked a good while yesterday. And he's already, in the last couple weeks, already been preparing his heart and mind with our theme, Remember Me. We base that on the words of the thief there at the cross where he spoke to Jesus and said, Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, I'll remember you. I'm not in such agony and pain that I can't take time to remember you. My focus is not so much on myself that I cannot remember me or remember you. Today you will be with me in my kingdom. So even in the midst of his great suffering and his pain, he still thought of others. And sometimes we go through great suffering and great pain, and whatever those things are, we still have to maintain a focus on others. So I'm looking forward to what Brother Ferris will bring out of that. He said, man, I've looked through and just seen a lot of things about remembering that the Lord has been dealing with me about. So I'm looking forward to that, and trust will be a blessing to you when we get underway on the 23rd with a missions conference. You notice behind me the quote that you heard from Hudson Taylor. God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness. I'm a common man, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not highly educated. I'm not well known. You know, I'm not a philanthropist. I don't have a bunch of money. I'm just a common man. And I think most of us would say we're common people. Now, we have people that have kind of lofty positions. Jim's a pilot with Southwest Airlines. Brother Brad is a medical doctor and so forth. We have people that have, you know, Nick's a professor. You know, these people have educated themselves and have developed good reputations in their fields. What I'm saying is, though, I think even Jim and Nick and Brad would say, we're just common people. None of us are well known. You know, that's okay. Because God seems to work with common people. And God is just looking, as Taylor said, for common men, common women, just to trust his great faithfulness. That's what he's looking for. Because, quite bluntly, he is faithful. He is faithful. You know, we sing a song that carries the title that is found in a passage of Scripture. And we'll look at that passage in just a moment. But when I say great faithfulness, what song might come to mind? Great is thy faithfulness. I think you know the words. It's 43 if you want, but let's just sing that first verse together. And just think about what you're singing. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He goes on in that song, talks about pardon for peace, pardon from sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. It's a tremendous song that reminds us of what we're taught in the book of Lamentations. And I want you to go there first of all tonight. We're not going to stay in this book, but the little book of Lamentations stuck in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I just want you to look at this for a few minutes. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is not a good book. And what I mean by that, it bears a title of what it is. It's lamenting. Israel has been basically wiped out. And Jeremiah is lamenting Israel's condition, lamenting Judah's condition, and basically he concludes, we got exactly what we deserved. God has tried to extend his mercy to us. He's tried to draw us back with cords of love, as the scripture says, but we've just blown them off and blown them off and blown them off. And God said, I'm sorry, I don't have a choice. And he had to judge him severely. Jeremiah was a reciprocant of that judgment. Even though he's a righteous man, Jeremiah would face dungeon time, threats of life, and eventually, over the course of years, he himself would be put to death. He would face a martyr's death. His life in that sense is kind of a sad life, but nevertheless, he loved Jesus Christ. And I say Jesus Christ because he did. He loved God's word. He said, it's in my bones as a burning, and I cannot, in a sense, he doesn't use this word, but I'll use this word, I can't contain it. There was a time where he was so overwhelmed and so discouraged, he said, I'm just not going to speak about God anymore. I'm not going to speak his word anymore. I'm through. And he said, I just can't. It's just in me. And that's literally one of my goals for you, is that you get the word of God so much in you that even when you get greatly depressed or discouraged, you just can't step away from God, or at least you can't remain away. Sometimes, I think for all of us, we just want to throw our hands up and just walk away from it. I think that's a true statement, that we all go through those times. But when God is just God in your life, I just can't stay away from him. I just can't stay away from his word. I can't quit serving him. I just love him too much. Yeah, it's been a rough patch, but I just love him. And that's what I would hope our mindset is. And that's Jeremiah's mindset. And in the midst of this lamenting over the condition of his people, and just about everything in this book is negative, in the middle of chapter 3 is a very positive statement. And I begin in verse 22, very famous words, ones that you've heard often. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope, now listen to this, and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Those are tremendous words, and I would imagine a number of you have verses 22 and 23 memorized. You know these from heart. And if you don't, my encouragement would be to you that you make it a goal to hide these two verses in your heart. and maybe even make it an emphasis as you get up in the morning, just to remind yourself of these words and pray them back to the Lord. And keep reminding yourself of the great faithfulness of the God who has given you his life. Faithfulness. It means to be trustworthy, if you will. It means to be loyal. It means to be constant. In Yellowstone National Park, there is a geyser, and you know the name of it. What is it called? Old Faithful. Because it just keeps doing what it does. Doesn't matter if there's ice on the ground, heavy snows. Doesn't matter if it's dry season or poor. It just does what Old Faithful does because it's faithful. Sometimes winter comes into your life. Be like Old Faithful. Just continue on. Sometimes the spring brings joy and excitement. Be faithful. It's easy to be faithful then. Just keep being faithful. And we're told here that God is faithful. And great is that faithfulness. So I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. You know, we're not on live stream. We're recording these to put them on the web page. But other than that, it's just you and me here tonight. So I wonder if someone would like to just lift your voice up. You don't even have to stand if you don't want to. But just say, I love God, and I just want to thank him for this aspect of his faithfulness in my life. It may be something to do with some thing that God has done for you or what you see in God's character himself. But is there anyone? We don't spend a lot of time with this, but Harold? Praise the Lord. In 86. I was going to say 84. So 86 years, and God has just been faithful to provide. Faithful to provide. That's good. Jeff, you had your hand up? Praise the Lord. That's good. Anyone else? Nick.
My mom passed in December. Just his faithfulness and comfort. That whole time, and, you know, it just wasn't a question of his presence and the Holy Spirit. Just regardless of what happened or what we dealt with, it was there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll keep going as long as you want. Chris? Praise the Lord. It is. Brother Electric.
I like how you started off where, you know, the common man. I also lived in the common man. I grew up in my father was a roofer, and, you know, just no one ever really, as a young person, no one really ever took me aside and told me about the Lord. You know, I was kind of left to myself in a lot of ways. And I mean, I had a big Catholic church right across the street. I mean, it was a huge Catholic church. They would have to have policemen outside to keep the traffic out of the service on Sunday. I never had anybody from the Catholic church come over to my house and tell me about the Lord. I had friends, I had neighbors that went to the Lutheran church every Sunday. They never told me about the Lord. And you know, my wife and I were talking about when we were, you know, young teenagers. You know, the Lord just pinged us. And he said somebody by my home, my neighbor, he was home from Bible college, from Hallis Anderson. He had come home for vacation. And the Lord told him, come across the street, knock on the door. And he came to witness to my stepdad. But my stepdad didn't want to hear nothing about it. He left the room. And so Jimmy and I were sitting there at the table, and God began to deal with my heart about my sin. So, you know, God is faithful, and he's faithful to the common man.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. We'd be in a world of hurt if he wasn't. That's tremendous. Anyone else, Mike? And you hit it. He goes beyond our needs. I mean, if I'm honest about it, he goes beyond my needs in providing. Joan?
I just want to say that three and a half years since God put Amy home, it's been hard. And one of the hardest things that I've ever gone through, and I don't think I'll ever be the same, because then faith believed, even when there were times that I wasn't, you know, he's never ever not been faithful.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. That's good. I want you to just think for a minute. Just pause for a minute and think about what you're doing. You're breathing. Now, you may not be doing anything else, just breathing. You may be zoned out right now, but that's God's faithfulness. When I got up this morning, I came over here to the buildings about 6:15, started turning on furnaces so the buildings would be, you know, warm enough when we came into them. And it's like, I can walk. And I've been doing that for nearly 64 years now. I could see to come down those steps. I could hear the traffic going by. I was telling our New Beginnings class today, Bruce Burkholder, our missionary and former, you know, youth minister here, has a twin brother, Brian. Some of you know of Brian. I grew up with those guys and I spent time with them. And when Brian was a missionary in Mexico, he and Vicky had their first child. Exciting time, a little girl. And as she was being born, the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck and strangled her all of her life. Now into her mid-30s, I guess, she's been blind, deaf, and mute. She's never spoken a word. She's never heard a word. She's never seen. God had a design in that. I've been in Brian's home and I've watched he and his wife love on that girl, and it's never ceased. They would never think about institutionalizing her. She is the greatest thing in their life. He pastors a large ministry, a community church, Hollywood Community Church down in near Miami, Florida. He would never think, she would never think about giving that girl up. They are faithful to her, but you know why? Because God has been faithful to them. And when I think about that, I think, you know, for 64 years, I've been able to see, I've been able to hear, I've been able to walk, I've been able to use my hands. My heart has pumped millions and millions of times. I go to sleep and don't think in the terms of my body functioning, but God is just faithful to keep it functioning. I sit down in my home, and like Mike, you said, provision. And more than I need, if I'm honest with myself, God is just faithful. Every morning you get up, the sun comes up. God is just faithful. Great is His faithfulness. He's a faithful God to us, and we cannot afford to ever forget that truth, that God is faithful. Every spring, the leaves bud on the trees. The grass turns green. Doesn't matter what the climate of our country situation is, God's faithfulness just continues. And we take it for granted. I take these things for granted. Now, at this stage of my life, I'm trying not to take these things for granted, to understand that the only reason I continue, the only reason I can get up and put on my own shoes, the only reason that I can see, the only reason that I can stand here behind this pulpit and talk is because of God's continued faithfulness. He's faithful to us who are His children. He's faithful to those who hate His guts.
Amen.
He's just a faithful God and a merciful God and a kind God. And that's what He is. That's what He is. I just want you to look tonight at a few things with me as we consider the faithfulness of God. The first is this, the character of God. And I want to put it this way, the character of God is faithful. The character of God is faithful. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to look at this for just a few moments. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you notice verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. There are times where we have to go through suffering. And He says, just as you have to go through that, you can bank on it, no fail, you will reign with Him as well. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. You can bank on that as well. Verse 13, if we believe not, now this is an interesting statement, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. There are times where we struggle in belief. Had a conversation with a man this afternoon. He is struggling. He's not a member of our church. You don't know him from Adam. God has allowed me to help him a little bit. And he called this morning just, or this afternoon, just struggling. He said, I just think, God, I'm no longer saved. He said, I've been struggling this issue that I've been getting victory over. All of a sudden, I'm struggling again. And I just think that God has taken away my salvation. It's like, brother, God is faithful. And your salvation is not based on your assurance of it or your personal doubt of it. God can't deny Himself. He's a faithful God, and this faithful God who gave you salvation and said He would never take it away, He's going to remain faithful whether you choose to believe Him or not. But you can bank on the fact that once you receive Christ, Romans 13, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God gave you the greatest of all gifts, the gift of eternal life. God called you unto His Son. He's given you a call. He's given you a gift. And God says, I'm not changing my mind about that. Here's why. Because God is faithful. He's faithful to His word. So that man in his struggles, and he may doubt, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. There are times in all of our hearts where we end up falling into doubt. But He remains faithful. He abides faithful. And that's a tremendous truth because it shows you the character of God, the character of God, faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, Hebrews 10:23, you find this phrase, God is faithful, or He is faithful. This is a characteristic of God that never changes and never will. Whether I choose to believe Him or not, that will never, ever change. That's the reality of the character of God. He is who He is. He cannot deny Himself. When you think about the faithfulness of God, we obviously think about aspects of how He is faithful to us. Testimonies tonight talked about different aspects of God's faithfulness. I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, most of you probably have this memorized. You know this verse, 1 John 1, 9. If you know it, just somebody say it. You don't even have to stand, but just quote 1 John 1, 9 if you know it. I had dual sound, just like speaker system. I had one on this side and one on this side. That was cool. I was almost in unison. Yeah, we know this verse. If we confess our sin, He is faithful. That's who He is. That's His character. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that guy called me today. He was in the mindset of, God can't forgive it this time. God cannot forgive it this time. And I think he used the phrase, the devil's told me that I'm lost, that I've lost my salvation. And I said to the man, what does God say? Not what you think, not what you feel, not the doubts that reign in your heart and mind right now, but what does God say? I remember years ago when I struggled with my salvation, I remember my brother-in-law, Brother Sam, saying to me, Jeff, what does God say? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what?
Be saved.
What does God say? And to just take God at His word. And God says, if you ask me to forgive you, I will. Now that's written, as you already know, to Christians, because Christians struggle at times. We Christians fail at times. He said to His children, I just want you to know, I will be faithful to forgive. You see, God is looking for common men to trust His great faithfulness. We're just a bunch of common men and common women. And God said, all I want you to do is this. Just trust me. Just trust my great faithfulness. I think Hudson Taylor, now I can look back now historically at his life, and in my mind I'm thinking, he's no common man. You heard the name C.T. Studd, no common man. Charles Spurgeon, no common man. But you know what? I think they were common men that God made great. They were just common men that said, we believe that God is who He is. He is faithful. God is just looking for common men like you and me to trust His great faithfulness. How about this? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This passage somewhat goes along with this theme of missions, where Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says in verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. God will establish you. He will set you fast and keep you, guard you from all evil. He mentions about going into areas where not all men have faith, and not all men are excited about your faith. And I just think, and I'm even hesitant, even though we're not on live stream, knowing it'll be on the website, so I won't mention names, but we have missionaries in hostile India, hostile Nepal, hostile North Korea, hostile China. And when those people do their work, they are at risk. in Nepal, if you're caught proselyting, in other words, trying to win people to Jesus, it's an automatic 5-year prison sentence for foreigners. And then at the end of your 5 years in prison, then they deport you. It's like, well, why don't you just deport them? No. 5 years in prison, and then you get deported. If you're caught in North Korea, they assassinate you. In China, things are getting rougher and rougher if they find out you're a Christian. I mentioned to you a number of years ago when Corey and Bethany were over there, their entire team that they were with had been caught in a service. It was when Bethany was having Savannah. She was in the hospital, so Corey and Bethany weren't with them. So they were not deported, but the other three or four couples were, because they were caught. I mean, that's the kind, and here's what he's saying. You just pray for us, please, because there are unreasonable men. They don't have faith. They're wicked men, and they hate the gospel. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray for us, and keep in mind that God is faithful. God can protect us. And I just again remind you that when it comes to the physical realm, in our bodies, in the physical sense, God says to you and me, I choose to be faithful to you. You say, well, Pastor, everybody ends up dying. Somebody gets cancer and they die. Another interesting thing about what's going on with some of the churches around here, I heard this with my own ears out of the mouth of one of my friends in ministry. I had a man with stage 4 cancer, brain, lungs, and maybe some other areas. He walked into this pastor's office 4 months ago. I'm not sure that he knew him. He sat down. The guy couldn't talk anymore. He's talking like this. And of course, he's distraught because he knows what's coming. And that pastor had an opportunity to lead this man to the Lord. So the man gets saved and it's genuine. So he decides to start coming whatever time he has left. Last Wednesday, I think it was, his wife walked up on the platform and said to the pastor, would you anoint my husband and pray over him? It's like, okay. And so they gather some men. They anoint him with oil. He goes to the doctor the next day for some kind of a checkup, and all the cancer was gone. But the neat part was, when he came the next service, his wife said, he can talk. And so that pastor, he's kind of matter of fact, he stands up and says, I hear you can talk. The guy says, yep, I can talk. God is doing some unusual things. Now, I know this for a fact, that God chooses not always to heal physically. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. But my point is this. In the midst of me taking God for granted, how many times could I have died? How many times could I have died over these last 64 years? And I have no idea that God spared me, that God protected me, that maybe the onset of a disease and God removed it. Maybe driving down the road, I could have been hit and killed, and God made sure that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that love him, and God spared me. How many times has God done that for you? And we may never know. When we get to heaven, will we even be interested to find out? I don't know if we'll even be interested in that. But the fact is, God is faithful in the physical realm. And we cannot take it for granted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at that quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This is written to a church in which he calls them sanctified, a church in which he calls them saints. And then as you proceed into chapter 2, it's like, well, wait a minute. In fact, you don't even have to get into chapter 2 until you begin to see all these major problems with these believers. But he said, you are saints and you are sanctified. And when you come down to verse 7, we'll just start there for clarity's sake, so that you become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. God will secure you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just in the physical realm that God is faithful to us, to secure us in that physical realm. He secures us in the spiritual realm as well. This church had all kind of problems. You name it, they were probably struggling with it. And God says, I just want you to know this. If you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, you ain't getting out of it. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are preserved in Christ Jesus, Jude said. I'm sorry. I said it. Paul's not here, so he cannot razz me about saying the word sorry. I'm sorry. Listen to me. God is faithful no matter what you think and no matter what I think at times. God has confirmed us, as he said here, to the end. So we have this spiritual security in Jesus Christ. And then that same truth is found in 1 Thessalonians. If you want to look there quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here you see those words, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, despise not prophesying, and all these things that he lists that we're to do or not to do. And then in verse 23 he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, every part of you. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be what? Preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, listen to this, who also will do it. How do you stay preserved in Jesus Christ? Well, you strive for it. No, no, no. Verse 24 says, he does it. What will advantage you is just simply to believe him. He does the work of sanctifying you, spirit, soul, and body, and preserving you blameless because of his faithfulness, and he will do what he is determined to do, whether I choose to believe it or not. If I don't believe him, he will not deny himself. If I don't believe him, he's still going to be faithful to me. And he secures us. The word preserved, blameless, the attitude of preserved is, now this is pretty neat, the continuous preservation of the believers as a single complete act. So here it is. Let's say Joe Schmo gets saved on September 7th, 1952. And from the moment he was saved September 7th, 1952, all the way through, God is still saving him. Saving him. We're now March 12th, right? March 12th, 2020. All those years, God has continually, from the moment he received the gift of eternal life to this moment, he's still, in a sense, saving him. It's a continual act. It never stops until he enters into the very presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. It's a continual thing. That's a pretty powerful word, pretty powerful thought. He will do it. Faithful is he who also will do it. You see, God is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness. To believe that God will forgive them. To believe that God will secure them physically and spiritually. And really this final thought tonight is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13. You know this verse. A lot of you have it memorized as well. God is faithful to make a way of escape. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Why? Because God is faithful.
Amen.
Now, just like that man I dealt with this afternoon, he's struggling. It was with an issue in his life. You know, it was like I said to him, every Christian struggles at times. Every Christian has gone through a besetting sin. That's not something that is just particular to you or peculiar to you. Every Christian struggles in these realms. That's the reality because we live in a body of flesh. I remind him of what Paul said in Romans 7. The things I know I should do, I don't. And the things I shouldn't be doing, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Everybody struggles at times. There is victory, and God says we can have victory. There is escape. Now, you notice the phrase, such as is common to man. Such as is common to man. Common temptations for common people like you and me. We all struggle in this area. But God says, let me just tell you something. I'll be faithful to give you a way of escape. You're in the room, there's a temptation, and God gives you a back door. Now, I may not choose to accept the door, I may not choose to walk through the door, but it's there. God is faithful in this realm. He said, I'm not going to suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, I'm going to make a way that you can bear up to this test. And sometimes I think when we look at the verse, the first thing we assume is temptation to sin. And that I think is certainly included in this, but the temptation to sometimes, Joan, you kind of alluded to it, sometimes when we're going through heavy trials, you know, we are tempted to walk away from God, but God is what? Always faithful to us. Always faithful. You know what happens? That's what draws us back. When we are so hurt, so wounded, that we find it difficult to trust Him and easy to want to walk away, the character of God is faithful, and He draws us back. He's just faithful to us, even when I have chosen not to be faithful to Him like I should be. I said that was the last one. I lied. I forgot to look at the last page. This is the last one. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 10. God is faithful to fulfill His promises. God is faithful to fulfill His promises. Just quickly look at Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 21. Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, and of course that our high priest is Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And by the way, cross-reference that back with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, where it tells us our consciences are cleaned by the blood of Christ and our bodies washed with pure water. You think about John 15, 3. Now are ye clean through the word that I've spoken to you. You think about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, where he says, you're washed by the washing of water by the word. God uses His word. It's an instrument of salvation. And obviously the blood is an instrument of salvation. He tells us you can enter into my presence in full assurance because you got this double barrel shotgun. My blood and my word. Brother, that's powerful. That's powerful. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because He is faithful that promised. God promised you eternal life. And He does not lie. God is not a man that He should lie. I think about 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him, in Jesus Christ, are yea. In Him, every promise is yes. Not yes and no. Not maybe or it might. It's just yes. Now, if I choose not to believe it, that's a whole different issue. But God says, all my promises in my Son are yes. Jesus Christ is a very positive person. In 2 Peter 1:4, he said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You know what? God is just looking for common men and common women to trust His great faithfulness. He's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to secure. He's faithful to provide us a way of escape. He's faithful to every promise He's ever given. And God looks at the common man and the common woman just to believe Him, just to rest in His character and believe Him for these things. You realize you're His special treasure. That's the way Peter put it. When he uses the term peculiar people, he's referring to the fact that you are so special to God. You're so special to Him, it makes it look peculiar to the rest of the world. Why is God so interested in them? Why do they seem to have a corner on the market with God? Well, it's not that we have a corner on the market. We just got in on the salvation end of it. We're a special treasure to Him, and we get to trust His great faithfulness. Why? Because that's just who He is. That's His character. I close with this last verse, Revelation 19:11. "And I saw in heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called" what?
Faithful
and true. That's who He is. He's just faithful. Praise the Lord for His great faithfulness. And we can rest in that. Hudson Taylor was right. He was right. He saw that demonstrated in his life. And we heard testimony tonight of God's faithfulness in your life. And, you know, between now and the day He comes back or the day that we depart this earth, whatever way that may be, listen, there are going to be challenges and trials in all of our lives. And God says, I just want to prove myself faithful to you. I just want to prove myself faithful. And we just need to trust Him and just believe Him. Well, I'd like to close this way tonight. We're just family here tonight. And just like you to just search out one person. You know, it can be husband or wife if you want, or if you want to pair up with another woman or the guys, another man. And just take a season of prayer. I really don't care what you pray about. You may just want to praise Him for His faithfulness. You may just want to take a minute to pray. I don't care. But let's just close the service by getting with another brother or sister in Christ and just pray for a moment. And then when you're done, you can head on home tonight. And thank you. This kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, but this is good to me. It's just good to me, and I'm glad we're doing this again. So, all righty. Hope you have a blessed week. We'll close in prayer, and we'll see you soon. All right.